time and forever.
Right. Well,
with his hospital.
We're in two, so we're going to get started. Maybe they'll come in. Romans 2, verse 24 is where we left off. 2:24 says, "For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written." And this is Paul speaking about the Jews who are obviously making an argument for their preferential status of having the law, that it made them much better than the uncircumcised. Them being circumcised Jews picked by God. That's got to count for something, right?
They thought so.
So we're going to find out how Paul addresses that issue as we continue on in Romans chapter 2. So let's open up with prayer and we'll get started. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity to assemble together, function as a local assembly. We thank you for your word as we have to read and enjoy and also to be edified through it. We thank you for recording these things. As we go forward, we pray that the Holy Spirit would enlighten our understanding and strengthen us as we read and believe these things. We just thank you again for this time. We thank you for all those who are here, for those who may want to be here but can't make it, and for those who have no desire at all. We just thank you again for this time. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
2:24, "For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written." Now, we can't just pick that verse up out of its context. We're in Romans chapter 2, verse 24. And verse 17, he's addressing them. He says, "Behold, thou art called a Jew, and rest in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which has the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law." You can't argue with the position that they had. The problem is they had all that, the privilege and the position, but Paul noted everything except they didn't do it. What good is it to have the requirements spelled out to you? What good is it to have the access to that knowledge, to the access to God, and not do what he says and not do what he wants? He said they rested in it and they boasted in it. That they rested in the law, they boasted in the law. I think we looked at last week when Peter said we're not, when Paul said we're not sinners of the Gentiles. Do you remember that? Mm-hmm. But what they didn't know, they didn't go back far enough. Where we found out where a Jew is just a religious title. That's the religion. He said when God says you're a Jew, that just to those who know, that's just saying you're religious. That's why when Paul gets saved, he says, "I profited in the Jews' what?
Religion."
And he says, "The things that I thought was a profit to me, those things I considered a loss for Christ." When he told the Jews that they had a form of knowledge in the law. And then Paul says, "And I profited in the Jews' religion." He says, "I counted those things lost that I may know him." See, God has moved on from that form to another form of knowledge. That's why Paul can say this. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. All things are old things are passed away. All things are become new. We knew him after the flesh, but now henceforth know we him no more. We're in Romans 2. So where I'm going is the Jews had a form of knowledge. That's how God had revealed what he wants, what he needed from them in the law. It was a standard. It was a standard of performance. If you can do this, he says, I'll be well pleased. And the honest Jew, instead, he would know that they rested in it, they boasted in it, but they did everything but keep it. And James said, it's not the hearers of the law that are justified before God, but the doers of the law. Verse 19, and he says, they are confident, Paul says, they're confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which has the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Thou therefore, which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God? That's the question. What would be the answer? What would be the honest answer to that? Yes. But a religious man won't admit that. He won't admit the truth that you have for your acceptance. The very thing you say that God wants you to do to be pleasing to him, are you breaking that very thing?
If you're honest.
You would say no. The religious man would say no. No, I'm not. He would boast in his status. That's why God says, there's a day coming where I won't look at your activity.
Secrets.
I'm going to look in the heart.
Secrets?
See, you can go to, you cannot miss a synagogue day. But these people, they worship me in their actions, but their heart is still at home. Where you say your body's in the synagogue, but your mind is way on the other side of town. You heard that song? That's your who was that? Dramatics? Your body's here with me. The OJs. Thank you, sir. Your body's here with me, but your mind is on the other side of town. That's the Jew. His body's in the synagogue, but his mind is not on God. And yet they're teachers. What goes on in the synagogue those prefixes they mean a lot. Synonym means what?
Same.
The same. That's what that prefix is. It means the same. It's not just alike. It is these people share the same interests. The common goal. That means to lead or to direct. So they're leading or directing them to the same place. The problem is, Jesus said that you blind, leaders of the blind, he says, you're teaching them, and the blind lead the blind, and they both
fall into the ditch.
That was the problem. They were leading the people the wrong way. They had corrupted the law. They weren't doing the law. I think you mentioned last week where the Lord said in Matthew 23, he says, those, the scribes and the Pharisees, sit in Moses' seat. That doesn't mean they had a chair that Moses used to sit in.
What's that word under lead?
Direct.
Direct.
That doesn't mean that they had a literal chair. That means that was a position of authority. Where they sit in Moses' seat, he says, therefore, everything that they tell you to do,
do it.
Do it.
But not as they do.
Matthew, what is it? Matthew 23.
They say and do not.
Well, let's see what they...
Would you say Matthew?
Matthew 23. Let's see. 23, verse 1. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All, therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe, and what? See, he didn't say everything they bid you to do, memorize it. Or everything they bid you to do, learn from it. He says everything they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders. But they themselves would not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments. And love the upper... let me stop there. A phylactery was a... You know what? That's your leather Bible case. Phylactery. Do they come in with the...
The big Bible.
Yeah, they... Or sometimes they have a big cross on.
Well, they
see, they're bigger than the Bible. As if that was an indication of your dedication to God. The bigger your Bible, the more my dedication. The Lord had told them, where as a Jew, this is bad. They had a cap they wore, and it had a band on it. And that was on there. It had little law statements, or maybe the, I love the Lord, I'll do what he wants, that kind of thing.
I think it's the Shema, the Deuteronomy 6.
I had to look it up and see. But... today, that's, you know, the priest collar. So that day it was it binded on their head. That it was that their symbol of their dedication to the law. Well, of course, theirs, they had to make theirs extra large. That's what he said, broaden their phylactery. Theirs is super big. As if to say, I'm doing a lot. And on the bottom of their garments, they also had the border of their garments. Same thing. It was outward indications of their dedication to God. So that is the mark by which I can determine your spirituality. So when I see that, I know, oh, that's a man of God. When I see that, oh, that's a man of God.
It's a man of the flesh.
When I see a cross, that's a man of God. But See, the problem, we look at the outside. But God's not a garment watcher. When he says put on a new man, that's what he's looking at. See, he can look through that and see your nakedness. First, where are we still in Matthew? He says, they love, verse 6, they love and love the uppermost rooms at feast and the chief seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But be not called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and ye are all, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your
servant.
Now, does that description sound familiar? That's the Jew. That's the Jew, which means praise. That's your teacher. That's your guide. That's a description of your teacher, of your guide in that day. That's the one who's leading you in your service and worship to God. Or them. Now, let me ask you. You think God is pleased with that? He says, he that is greatest, when Jesus said that he that is greatest among you, let him be
servant
of his pick. Servants of the ones he picks. I said servants of the ones he picks.
Servants of all.
Servants of what?
All.
Of all. Do you remember the order? God first, then your neighbor, then you. So the Jew says, me first. That's the end of the list. But he's boasting. You see, the law to him was a status symbol.
Well, it's like the publican and the sinner in the temple. That terrible, perfect contrast.
How often do you hear this? I want to build my church. These are my people. Yeah, today, in today's religious vernacular, is he says, you ride by every, you learn a few lines, and then I'm gonna start my church. Which is. Look,
you hear it a lot. God called me to build this church. God called me to.
And there's nothing wrong with teaching. We're doing it now. There's nothing wrong with service. We all should be servants. Wherever you get a chance to minister, you should be willing to do that. But at least be God's minister. That is, declare to them the counsel of God, not yours. So there's a difference between you edifying a person and manipulating a person. And the Jews went from a light that should be manifested to the people to darkness that was manipulating the people and the law and handling, as Paul would say, handling the word of God deceitfully. That's why when Jesus shows up, he has to give them a bunch of this I says, because they had risen above the law, so to speak. Is they could not see where they were wrong and where they were distorting the law. So they would say, well, if the Lord said you should give tithes to your mother, and they said, well, I've saved this for something to dedicate it so he can get away from that. But the Lord would get right in there, and he would know. And he exposed them. That's why you would read, and they would say, from that time, they sought to praise him.
Kill him.
And he would tell them, he would say, if you were Abraham seed, why do you seek to kill me? Abraham wouldn't do this. He said, Abraham would not do. But you are of your father. Okay, back to Romans. But this is, they boasted in the law, and they rested in the law. They were teachers, and Paul says, if you're teaching another, are you not teaching yourself? We notice that's what Jesus says. He says, that what they teach, do it. But don't do like they do. The teaching is good because the law was designed. It was a dual design to the law. God can give you a standard and at the same time know that you can't keep it. If you have enough deceitfulness, and I'm not saying that in a bad way. If you're deceived, that you could be sincerely deceived. If you have enough deceitfulness in your heart to believe that God could give you a list of things to do and you can do them, God says, tell you what, if you can do it, I'll give you life. I'll give you life. If you can keep these, I'll give you eternal life. But if you can't, what is? Can't draw your cross. If you can't, you deserve. Do you agree with that? Would you enter into that agreement? No. They said yes. They said yes. We'll enter into that agreement.
We need to listen to what they were first. It's like, I wanted to read the contract before I signed up.
Watch this. Exodus. She said they didn't listen. They didn't even listen. Okay, Exodus.
Or did they?
Well, let's see. Let's see what happened.
19.
That's I think it.
Verse 5.
Hold on. Where, you might need your help here. Where he comes down, what's that?
19:8.
No, I don't even think it's. It might not even be in Exodus. But what happened was he comes down, and Moses read all these things in the ears of the people, and they all.
No, I know. Go ahead.
No, what? You started.
These things we will do.
Yeah, that's what they were. That's 19, what they were talking about. But this one was when he read in their ears all these things, and they agreed.
Would that be in Deuteronomy?
That sounds more like it.
Verse
Well, we don't have to. I thought we'd 5:1.
So what book?
Deuteronomy 5:1. It says Moses, and Moses called Deuteronomy 5:1.
We should have known.
And Moses
in the fifth chapter.
And Moses called all Israel and said unto them, Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that ye may learn them and keep and do them. Okay, Jenny, you're back there. You are part of Israel. You're in your tribe, sitting there listening to Moses at the meeting, and he's read off the statutes and judgments. Did they hear it?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you hear it?
Yeah.
All right. And I speak in your ears this day that ye may learn them and teach them.
Keep them.
And memorize them.
Keep and do
them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. The Lord made not this covenant with our fathers, but with us. Even us, who are all of us here alive this day. And the Lord talked with you face to face in the mount of the out of the midst of the fire. And he goes on now. Let's keep going. And I stood between the Lord and you at that time to show you the word of the Lord. For you were afraid by reason of the fire that and went not up into the mount, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Number one, thou shalt have none other gods before me. Thou shalt not make thee any graven image or likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the waters beneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow thyself down to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generations of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Now, and he goes on to talk about the Sabbath day. So, if they don't love God, what do you think about the Sabbath? Let me rephrase that. If they don't love God, what do you think they'll feel about the Sabbath?
They won't keep it.
They won't keep it. So not only did they commit idolatry, they also broke the Sabbath.
Yeah.
That's the Jew. That's the ones who rested in it and boasted in it and taught it. They did everything but keep it and do it. That's what he wanted, didn't he? That's the first thing he said, is keep it and do it, not boast in it, not rest in it, not teach it. You say, well, that's the Jew. We covered us pretty good last week, right? But that's how God's will can become just a religion, an activity. It's no different. We see it today. We see it today.
Water baptism.
Very, very few believers are even apply or even consider this. Would you agree with that?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Now, are we in Romans? He's asking questions. Thou that sayest, 22, thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. After they broke the Sabbath, after they committed idolatry, God actually told them up front. He says, when you do this, I'm going to scatter you among all nations. Look at Ezekiel 36.
Ezekiel 36, yes.
Verse 17. Of course, the Lord always would raise up prophets to let them know that the judgment was coming and why they are in it. Like, they had no idea why this was happening. I'm being facetious. 17. Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it. What was their land called? The Holy Land, right? Why was it called the Holy Land? It was set apart, right? That's where God was in the land. Emmanuel. God was with them. If you read Ezekiel, you can see where God begins to leave. He starts in the synagogue. He goes out. Then he's out in the land. Then he goes out to the outskirts of the land. And then he's gone. So the land that was holy.
Holy no more.
verse 17. Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own way and by their doings. Their way was before me as the uncleanness of a removed woman. Wherefore I poured my fury upon them for the blood that they had shed upon the land, and for their idols wherewith they had polluted it. And I scattered them among the heathen. That's Gentiles, nations, ethnos. According to their way, and according to their doings, I judged them. And when they entered unto the heathen, whether they went, they glorified my holy name.
Profane.
What does profane mean? Blaspheme. Here's what they said. When they said to them, these are the people, when I say the people of the land, said, these are the people of the Lord and are gone forth out of his land. Can you imagine? I read a book one time. It's called The Wandering Jew. And after the judgment, where God is, they're everywhere. That's judgment. That's God's judgment. And when he gathers them in, that's the feast day, when he'll gather them back into their land. How many ever seen it usually comes on late at night. There's a TV show, and Zola Levitt?
Yeah.
Where he's always pleading. He's like, send that money in. You can get a Jew back to his homeland, and God will bless you for doing this. That's not today. See, when God does the in-gathering, he won't be on television.
He won't need that.
He won't need it. They'll know that it's a mass exodus, and it'll be God. It won't be two or three of them, you helping with your $5 donation. But he says this, the people of the land, when they see him, if you're a nation, when they were coming into the land, into Canaan, into the nations round about them, said, we already heard about it.
Right.
When they were on the way, when they got there, the people were terrified. They said, "We knew you were coming. We already knew." We don't want any trouble, Bob. So what do you think they think when they turn around and they see the Jews in their land subservient? That is, not the head, but the tail. Then the Lord said that they would become a byword and a proverb. And they would look at him and say, there's a Jew. What are they doing here? You didn't hear it? You didn't hear it, Blake? God put them out. He put them out of the land. Why?
Profaned. They profaned his name.
And that's why he's going to bring them back, because he's doing it because he said he was going to do it. Not because of you. Not because you're a Jew. It's because I made a promise to the fathers that I'm going to keep. That's why he said, I'm not doing it. Where is that? He says, but I had pity for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen, whether they went. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do this not for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen, whether ye went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. How is he going to do that? For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. What's that, Melissa? What is he describing in those verses?
The infilling of the Spirit,
and also
the
new covenant. Listen, the New Testament. How many times do you hear this? We're under the New Testament.
Yep.
Right now. The New Testament was for
Israel.
And they're going to get that New Testament right there. We have what they get by covenant,
we get
by grace.
But they haven't gotten theirs yet. They don't get theirs
to the when he gathers them back in from among the heathen and puts them in their land, gives them the Spirit, they'll be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. What he told them in Exodus when they first came out.
They will be born again.
Now, notice what, this is the important thing right here. He says, I'm going to take out your stony heart. And I'm going to replace it with a heart of flesh. That's where, when you get to the when they are boasting in when they're boasting in circumcision. All right, let's go back to Romans. When they're boasting in the, this is what God meant when he says, we're not in three, but he says, what advantage does a Jew have?
Much
in every way. Verse 24. For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. For circumcision verily profiteth, if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made what?
Uncircumcision.
Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? He's throwing that around a lot. Verse 27, and shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision does transgress the law? For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the what?
Heart.
Of the heart. Whose... I lost my place.
Who's in the spirit.
Whose praise is not of men, but of God. Now, the very word Jew means praise. That was 29.
Circumcision of the heart and spirit. Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I lost myself too. But Jew, we saw that last week, came from Judah, which Judah means praise. You know about the tribe of Judah, right? That's where the Lord came from. They were to be the governing tribe, the reigning tribe. That's where the king would come from. So that it meant something to them to be called a Jew. And not only that, they had Abraham to their father. And he received the covenant of circumcision. Now if you look back at Genesis, Abraham's called in chapter 12, right?
Yeah.
God told him to leave. 15, he makes him a promise. 15, he's justified by faith. Abraham's declared righteous. Oh, all right. 15, Genesis 15.
Circumcision.
15:6.
Yeah.
Thank you. There you go. Matter of fact, I'm just going to quote this. In 12, God makes him a promise. He says, leave your family, your country, your kindred, and I'll make you a great nation. So he does. He makes a pit stop, but he's on his way. 15, God says, he brought him forth, verse 5, and... He says, look now toward heaven. God says, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto them, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Abraham believed in the Lord. Standing there, looking up, couldn't count them. If he counted them, then he could say, "Well, I counted them, Lord."
Ain't no way.
He said, "No way. He can't count them." He said, "So shall thy seed be." Here's a man with no children. 75, no children. Looks up,
He says, wow, I believe that. But how? I don't know if you know this, Lord. I don't have any kids. But he's justified right there. So they go into, he's 75. They wait 10 years. Nothing happens. Sarah says, well, maybe it's her. Maybe it's Hagar. And it's just, you know what? I never thought of that. She might be right. So they have Hagar, or they have, they, he goes into her, she gets pregnant. Right around, huh? Right, no, I'm saying right around 85, but Ishmael's born when he's 86. Okay? And God says, nice try. But it's not him. So they wait till Abraham's 99. What's 86 minus 99? 13. And he says, Sarah's 90, Abraham's 99. That means this is spiritual. That's the number 9. Spiritual. Then they have Isaac. Abraham's 100. And they have Isaac.
Glory.
8 days later, after Isaac's born, God, 17. Genesis 17. And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. When did he tell him that?
Back in Genesis 12.
He told them that back in what? And 15.
Say that again.
We at 17? 17:1?
No. Say what you just said before.
Oh, I said he talked about making him a great nation and blessing him. And I said, when did he say that? I said he said that in 12, and it said it again in 15. Okay, so he's basically restating it to him, isn't he? It's nothing new. And let me ask you this. Is Abraham justified right now?
Yes.
When I say right now. He believed God. He really believed.
He was justified in uncircumcision.
He was justified in what? Uncircumcision. Okay. Verse 10. This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you, and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised, and ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant between me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generations, he that is born in a house or bought with money of any stranger which is not of thy seed, he that is born in thy house, he that is bought with thy money, must needs be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised man child, whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant. He gives them a covenant of circumcision, which is a cutting of the foreskin. Now, this is, as a matter of fact, the same day, look, Abraham circumcises Ishmael and Isaac and his whole house after he gets this covenant in 17. Everyone.
Ishmael was 13 years old.
Yes.
Okay, so he, okay, at the same time. Okay.
Yeah. And I'm sure those men in there maybe were 25 or 45.
Those grown men getting circumcised.
Doesn't matter what age they were.
It didn't matter. Because when God gave him the covenant, and, okay, you're with Abraham, and you go to, he say, listen, to his servants or Eleazar, say, hey, listen, guys, you got the meeting in the house, I'm going to have to cut you. Oh, okay. He said, yeah, where? And he says, there.
What?
He says, God told me to do this. Now.
You sure you didn't have pizza last night?
But here's the principle, is this. It's the cutting off of the flesh. Now, how many of you guys know what, you heard of a phallus, doctor?
Yeah.
Phallus.
That's what this Washington monument is.
Now, that's, at this time, this is nothing new. This is a cultural thing in all cultures where they worship that.
Nebuchadnezzar.
Mm-hmm. Anybody. Right, it doesn't matter. It's
another.
You would see
carvings and statues.
Yeah. You ever heard this word before?
Obelisk. Is that what you just said?
I said obelisk.
Oh, you did. Okay.
What? You ever heard that word before?
Which word?
Priapism.
Priapism.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
That's
before.
Well, what it is, it's it's the, we're all adults. It's the,
what, erectile?
Yes, no, the opposite of that. It's the,
oh, it's when it stays there.
Yes. Yes. So, so it's,
just us dancing around in this
room. But that's where all that originates from. But what it is, it's a gesture of power and man's generative ability to give life. So when Abraham, listen, he doesn't. When he goes in, God's telling him, listen, that's a flesh work. I told you what it was going to be. You should have waited on me. You didn't.
Okay.
Now, so it's my covenant.
So it's not like, in a way it's like a punishment, but it's also taking away a status symbol. It's like tarnishing the flesh.
When he had Ishmael, you know what he what did Abraham say to God? He said, "This it's not him." He said, "Listen, it's not him." What?
Oh, that he might live
before thee. What is he saying?
Don't kill him.
What else is he saying?
Take the work of my
hands. Yes. Yes. He's saying,
just like with Cain and Abel.
Same thing.
The work of my flesh.
Can't you work with this? And he says, I told you. It's in Isaac.
the promise.
So he says, now listen. He appears to him again and makes the same statement. He says, this is my covenant. Now we're going to have to redefine the terms of this relationship. He says, first thing you do is cut that. I don't need your help. I said, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. I am going to make you a father of many nations. I don't need your assistance. So what we'll do is this. Every man that you have now, he's got to be circumcised. Because I don't need his help either. And if he doesn't want to agree to these terms, cut him off. Because the circumcision is this. It's the person who's dependent upon God.
Death to the flesh.
It's the person who's dependent, the Jew, who's dependent upon God. So when the Jew gets caught up in that, I'm not uncircumcised, but he's still boasting in his accomplishments. He's still boasting in his status. He's still boasting in his position. He's still boasting in his results. And God says, you're not a Jew that's with the cut in the foreskin, you're outwardly, he says, that outward, Abraham, scripture said that Abraham received the sign of circumcision, which was a seal of the righteousness he already had. The sign was it was the mark. That's the physical part. The seal is authenticity of the transaction he made on the inside. That proved the mark was the stamp that I believe God. Not the other way around. This is what the Lord says. He says, you're fighting me because I said to a man on the Sabbath day to be healed. Every way, every whit, to be made every whit whole. That's all throughout. In other words, he says, be fit for God. You are mad at me because I tell a man on the Sabbath to be fit for God. But you will circumcise a man on the Sabbath. You will break the law to keep the law. That doesn't make sense. And all the law is going to tell you is you can't do it. You're not fit. He said, why are you mad at me if I skip the steps and just make the man fit on the Sabbath? That's the goal. Okay. So, all right, we don't have to stop. But that's where he says he's not a Jew. That's on the outward. That's why Paul would say, can I get two more in? Well, I'll just quote him. In Colossians 2, he says, we are baptized. Right? We're complete in him. Baptized without hands. Circumcised without hands. Resurrected without hands. He called it the operation of God. In Philippians 3, Paul says, we are the circumcision which worship God in spirit.
And put no confidence.
And have no
confidence
in the flesh. That's spiritual. That's why that was just a type of what you should be feeling on the inside, what the Jew should have been feeling on the inside. So how many times you heard this, Johnny? Well, I'm a spiritual Jew. He sure is. He is. He sure is. Because they rested in it, boasted they were dead spiritually. He sure is a spiritual Jew. He had no preference with God. The status he had, it was not to his advantage. What should have been, he broke. And if he followed with Paul, he would find out that you are no different. You're no different than the Gentile. As a matter of fact, you've cut from the same cloth.
Well, when you think about it, when Stephen was being stoned, when they stoned him, he pronounced them that they were uncircumcised
in
heart and ears.
You always do resist the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
As your fathers did, so do you. He said, you have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it.
So he was declaring that they may be Jews outwardly, but they were just as much a heathen as the Gentiles.
When Paul would preach in those cities, and they would have Jews and Gentiles, and Paul would preach to them, the Jew, the Gentile, circumcision, uncircumcision. His response to the gospel, their response to the gospel. Their circumcision
became
and their uncircumcision, because it was always
about the heart.
A heart matter. And they says, well, I tell you what, you keep on going, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Another place he said, yeah, you have proven yourselves, I'm paraphrasing, unworthy of eternal life. He says, well, we'll go to the Gentiles.
And they'll hear it.
And then he says, well, guess what? The salvation of God is sent to the Gentiles. So when a person tells you that they're a spiritual Jew, or they feel there's some advantage to that, they just haven't kept up with God. You got to find out, well, what was it for? What did it mean? Did it accomplish its meaning? And when you see it, you say, oh, that's why Paul can say, look, circumcision profits you nothing. Whoever you are seeking to be justified through the law, you have fallen from grace. Circumcision availeth nothing. If any man, he says, look, Jew, there's no Jew, no Gentile, no bond, no free, no Greek, barbarian. He says, they're new, a new creature in Christ, because it's internal. These are all external things. He said, it's an internal issue. God looks at the heart. You won't fool him. I don't care how many rites and rituals you keep, how many times you go to church on Sunday, how much hours you put in scripture study, how many songs you sing. He says, I see you on the inside. He sees on the inside. Huh? Say it. So that's where when Paul he talks about God judging the secrets of men according to his gospel, it's the gospel of faith. See, I don't know what you believe, but I know who does. That's why he says, I don't judge anything before the time. As a matter of fact, Paul says, I don't even judge myself. But the Lord will decide at that day why you did it and what you get for it. And then he says, that's why it's a small matter if I be judged of you or any man's judgment. I'm not the guy. And we should thank God that we are not the deciding factor. Or anything that we do is the deciding factor. It's the deciding factor, and we'll find out next week, is what he has done. Well, we won't find that out next week because that's a long way down. But the deciding factor is what, when I say he, what Christ has done is his performance that we bank on. All right, we'll stop there. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this time. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.